If you would, you want to follow along, turn to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 is what I'm going to read. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Over 100 years ago, a man wrote this. It is not opinions that man needs. It is truth. It is not theology. It's God. It is not literature and science, but the knowledge of the free love of God in the gift of his only begotten Son. Horatius Bonar wrote that. And he died in 1889. I don't know when he wrote it. But guess what? It's still true today. I want to add one thing to that list he gave us there, though. It is not choice. It is not choice that man needs. It's to be chosen, to be chosen by the Father in the Son. To be chosen by God in Christ Jesus. I have read many, many books in my lifetime and watched many countless TV shows and movies. And there seems to be one thing that a whole bunch of them have in common. They seem to think that it's man's choice that determines his fate. That's what they think. It's a lie, yes. That's supposed to be the difference between being good and being evil. A woman, a man, or a child's choice is the only thing that matters. And some will even, they are so bold as to name free will. Because everybody's got one, don't you know? They do not understand the nature of man. Even when they'll pay lip service to it. I know some people, I've read some intelligent authors that pay a little bit of lip service to the nature of man. You know, nobody has to teach anybody how to lie. You have to teach children not to. Why is that? Because that's the way we are. They don't understand the nature of man. And they don't understand this for sure, that our best deeds are as filthy rags in the sight of God. They don't understand there's none good. No, not one. And here's the kicker. They don't understand that they don't understand. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't need anyone to explain unto him what was in the heart of men. The scripture clearly states we need a new heart. We have a heart. Scripture's clear about that. And it's what? Deceitful above all things. We have a heart, and it's desperately wicked. We have a heart, and out of its abundance, the mouth speaks. The poison of adders is upon our lips. Our tongue is an unruly member because our hearts are unruly. Now you think about all that, then hear the words of the Lord. Come unto me. Come unto me. You understand? The Lord knows our nature, our thoughts, our hearts better than we ever could. And yet here we're told, come unto me. And we are told, come unto me.
Amen. Right.
It's not a request. It's not even a plea. It's a command. It's a command. And it's a command from the Lord of heaven and earth. This is a command from God manifest in the flesh. Come unto me. He isn't asking, Jesus Christ is not asking for anyone's cooperation. He is commanding his living sheep to come to him. Come unto me. Don't come to an opinion. Come unto me. Don't come to theology. Don't come to the preacher. Don't come to religion. Come to Christ Jesus, and in so doing, you will come to the Father. Honor the Son, come to the Son, and in this you honor the Father, who is above all. Because Jesus Christ said that I and my Father are one. Come unto him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man, what? Comes to the Father but by me.
Amen.
Come unto me. Come unto me. And right now, today, that command is still given. However, this is the part a lot of people want to leave out. They want to talk about come unto Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. But there's a specification that our Lord Jesus Christ put here. There's a description given. If you want to use the word, there's a qualifier here.
Amen.
Understand? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What's that mean? Well, folks, I know some people who will use this come unto me, and they'll use it as a universal invitation. A, Christ doesn't offer invitations. He gives commands. But B, he says, come unto me, all ye, what? That labor and are heavy laden. Do you fit that category? Here's the description of those who are commanded to come to Christ. And I have to say it. If you don't fit this description that Christ gives, he's not talking to you.
Right.
A lot of people think that's cold-blooded. You're leaving people out. No. I'm including everyone in that our Lord calls, that our Lord commanded. And I'll not add one whit to it or take one whit away by the best of my ability. Jesus Christ doesn't say, come unto me, all you that are so happy we can't stand you. I've seen them in places, heard stories from other preachers. I've seen them on Billy Graham's TV shows decades ago. Thank God they're gone. I've seen people, they call people to the front to come make a profession of faith. And they'd skip down the aisle chewing bubble gum. Or smiling and laughing and bouncing. Christ said, come unto me, all ye that are weary. Not bouncy. All ye that are heavy laden. Not chewing bubble gum. Here's the thing. Every son of Adam, every daughter of Adam, every child of Adam should be weary and heavy laden about their sins.
Amen. That's right.
But we're not. We're not. All are under sin, both Jew and Gentile. And I like to put it that way because you know what? That includes everybody. Because you're either a Jew or you're not. That's what a Gentile means. You're not a Jew. That's everyone. All should be under the burden of their sin. All are under sin, but all do not know they are under sin. Because there's a context to this verse. And it's usually ignored when speaking about this verse. First of all, let me read this. This is verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. You're saying God doesn't ask us for our opinions. He never has and he never will. Why? Because our opinions are just like our heart. They're corrupt. This is what he said. The Father has to reveal the Son unto you. And the Father also has to reveal your sin unto you. Now, you want to know where I got that? Doesn't matter whether you want it or not, I'm going to tell you. Go back to verse 20, the same chapter, chapter 11. This is where this started. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. This is Christ. Because they repented not. Oh, they didn't repent. Woe unto you, unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto the heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom. Here he is comparing Capernaum to Sodom. It would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Then he says, I thank thee, Father, O Lord of heaven, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. What? He has hid from these people their need to repent. He's talking about, oh, he began to upbraid them. Why? Because his works were done there. His word was preached there. His word was preached from his own lips. And they repented not. And then he says, if God doesn't reveal it to you, you never will repent. You understand, most people seem to use this word, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. They use this and preach this as your choice. Christ said it's God's choice. It's God's choice. Now that might hit you to the heart. I hope it does. I hope it does. Because that might mean you're hearing what I'm saying. And all I'm saying is what Christ said. Most people use this to preach choice, but Christ preached differently. He told his disciples flat out. He told them that he spoke what he heard from the Father. That's what Jesus Christ said. I can't speak of anything unless the Father told me about it. I and my Father are one. And then he told them this. He says, you didn't choose me, but I have chosen you. But I have chosen you. Yes, there is a choice that matters. And yes, it is not mine. And it is not yours. It's only after Christ is revealed unto those that the Father gave to him that you will know of your labor, being laboring and heavy laden. We sing a song, Show Pity, Lord. O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. All men are rebels, but all men are not repentant.
Right.
What's the difference? What's the difference? I thank thee, Lord, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Therein lies the difference. The work of God.
Amen.
What do you mean, the work of God? What is the work of God? John wrote it. This is the work of God. What? It's got to be something deep, something really powerful. And it is. It's just most people don't get it. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent.
Amen. That's right.
It takes the work of God to believe Jesus Christ. It takes the work of God to repent. You understand? What does it say? Repentance has to be granted. If peradventure they be granted repentance. That's the only way to know if you are laboring and heavy laden. Christ chose to reveal himself to some and not to others. And those are the ones that are commanded to come, those who know who he is. You understand, you can't come to one you don't know any more than you can believe on one you don't know. Christ said, the fathers hid these things from men. Hid them from the wise and the prudent in particular. You know how not many wise men, not many mighty men after the flesh are called. There's some. What's the difference? Because the Lord of heaven and earth has revealed these things to some. To some. Then Christ says, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Then he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You got to have the context before you can quite understand the verse. It's true. Come unto me, all you who are weary. You can say it flat out. But you better put in all you that labor and are heavy laden. That's who Christ will give rest. Let me see here. Isaac Watts wrote this. Lord, how secure my conscience was, and felt no inward dread. I was alive without the law, and thought my sins were dead. My hopes of heaven were firm and bright, but since the precept came with a convincing power and light, I find how vile I am. Then felt my soul the heavy load, my sins revived again. I had provoked a dreadful God, and all my hopes were slain. Thy gracious throne I bow beneath. Lord, thou alone canst save. O, break the yoke of sin and death, and thus redeem the slave. I like that, I do. I like it because I know what it means to be heavy laden and to labor. God brought me to that. And if he doesn't bring you to that, you're not going to come unto him, because you're not going to feel a need to come to Christ to lift a burden you don't feel, you don't know about. But what happens? He says, come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I will give you rest. You understand? Not only is the repentance given, not only is the revelation given, the rest The rest in Christ is given. The rest in Christ Jesus is given. It's not earned. He gives it. It's not worked for. It's given. Our rest from our labor and our heavy load is in Christ Jesus and given by Christ Jesus. Amen. What do you mean? Cease from your labor. Jesus Christ has paid it all. He paid all the debt I owe. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins weigh on you heavily and unbearable, he washed them as white as snow. And he said this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I looked at this word yoke. The primary meaning, and I love this. I think this is one of the greatest things I've ever read. The primary meaning of the word yoke is to join. It's to join. You understand? He's not yoking you and me together, Walter. He's yoking us in with him.
Amen. That's right.
It's his yoke. Take my yoke upon you. You're joining with him. Guess who's pulling all the weight, folks? You want to know why? What? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's done all the work.
Amen.
He's done all the work. And in it you shall find rest for your soul. You may not find any rest for your weary bones here. But there's rest for your soul in Jesus Christ. You know, I think it was Scott Richardson wrote something. He says there are men out there and they spend, multitude of thoughts and working and scraping and earning for an old age pension, for an old age that might never come. Here, you enter into his rest and you're done. He's done it all. Now, you're going to take on a yoke, but it's easy. You're going to have a burden, but it's going to be light compared to the weight of your sins.
Amen.
That were upon you. Because Jesus Christ is not saying you have a burden to carry on your own. You are joining yourself to him.
Yeah.
And the reason you're joining yourself to him is because he's joined himself to you. He never said, take the law upon you and keep it, no matter how many preachers say that. We're not saved by grace and kept by the law. That's a lie. Believers are joined with Jesus Christ by grace. It's his yoke upon you. And this yoke is not to be borne by one. It's to be borne by him. But here it is. What is this yoke specifically that he says? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Paul said it many times in his epistles. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Isn't that great? What am I supposed to do if I come to Christ? Learn of him. Learn of him. Learn. And not just learn, learn of me. Learn of Jesus Christ. Learn of the Good Shepherd. Learn of the bread of life. Learn of the true Passover, Jesus Christ. Learn of God manifest in the flesh. Learn of the only begotten Son of God. Peter wrote, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. How do we learn? In the words of God from heaven speaking to men, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him."
Amen.
If you're coming under Christ, you need to learn of Christ. How do we learn? He's given us his Spirit to teach us the things of him. How do we learn? We're to study, to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. How do we learn? John 5 and verse 24 wrote this. Words of Christ. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." What did he say? He that hears and believes. How do you learn of Christ? You learn from his gospel. You learn from his gospel preached by himself in his word and by his men. Learn of me. This is the point where we try to preach Christ every time we preach, because that's who we're supposed to learn about. How can you learn of him if they won't preach him? Oh, how can you learn of him when somebody's preaching a lie to you? You understand? If you're not preaching the true Christ, the Christ of the Bible, you're preaching a lie. Believers are no longer dead in trespasses and in sin. We hear his word in his gospel, who is preached from the scriptures, his word, and we are given understanding by the Holy Spirit through the word of Jesus Christ. Luke 24 and verse 45 says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures."
Yeah.
And I can tell you this from the scripture: when Christ opens, no man shuts. When Christ opens the scriptures to you, when Christ opens his word to you, no man shuts. You can't keep from hearing once he has given you hearing ears. You can't keep from understanding once he's given you a heart that understands. You can't keep from seeing if he's given you eyes that see. And you like it. You'll like it. It may make you uncomfortable sometimes. But I am of the opinion, and this is my opinion, I think it's scripture too, but I don't know exactly where, I'd rather know than not know.
Amen.
I'd rather see than not see. I'd rather hear than not hear. And I'd rather understand than to be ignorant. He'll open the scripture and you'll understand. Now, it might not be, it won't be everything, and it won't be perfectly. But you will understand this, and I believe this wholeheartedly, you'll understand that the scripture is about him, or you're missing the point. That still happens to me today. I can read some scripture, and I don't quite get it. I know it's about him, but I may not know what. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." Rest unto your souls. "I am gentle and humble in heart." Rest in me. Rest from your labor. Rest from your heavy load of sin. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Excuse me. I said it before. I'll say it again. There's a yoke, but it's his yoke.
Amen.
There's a burden, but it's his burden. And that yoke word is still joined together with Christ. Live and hear, love, and walk. Hear and believe, excuse me. Hear and believe, believe and love, love and walk, walk and then walk some more. Walk while resting in him. He's wanting to go put it in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I don't know that I can go a sermon without saying that. I love that verse. He'll put it in you both to will, to want to, and to do of his good pleasure. That's a blessing from God. There is rest for those that Christ has made heavy laden, shown they are heavy laden. There is rest for those who Christ has shown them they labor. There's rest from our works in Christ Jesus, who has redeemed us by his precious blood. We can rest in him. Why? How? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Oh, he'll make you lie down. He'll make you lie down from your labor, from your burden. Oh, I'm not going to tell you. You will never think about sin anymore, your own sin, because you will. Because we're that way. I worry about what I do and what I say. But he makes me to lie down in green pastures. And he restores my soul because he makes me realize it's not on me. He is yoked himself and yoked me with himself and yoked you with him. The same good shepherd gives rest to the sheep in the one fold. Other sheep I have, them I must bring. And there's going to be one fold and one shepherd. He quickens whom he will. He reveals to whom he will. And he commands them to come. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus came to save sinners. He will show you that you are a sinner, or you will never come to him. And when he shows you you are a sinner, you will come to him. Have you heard his word? Are you laboring and heavy laden? Here's the thing. Do you know you're not worthy of salvation? Lots of people think they should be chosen. They're wrong. But they think it. I used to think I was a pretty good fella until I found out different. You understand? It was, I was 20 years old. I'm simplistic, okay? I used to think I was one of the good guys. And maybe I was, as far as people go. I found out I wasn't good at all. And I'm going to tell you something. When you come to realize there is none good, no, not one, and that includes you, it's easy to think, oh, there's none good, no, not one. Yeah, look at that guy over there. Look at them. Oh, yeah, there's plenty wrong with them. That ain't what you're laboring and heavy laden. You come to see that it's none good, no, not one, it means me. When you come to see a little bit of, you're nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have neither been mollified or bound up with, or not even been treated. Amen. And I always thought putrefying sores. You know what that is? That's sores that are dying and they're killing you. That is a heavy load. Come unto him. Come unto him. Because if you come unto him, he will give you rest for your soul. For your soul. Dear Lord, our Father in heaven, thank you for showing us just a bit of the sinfulness of our own souls. And thank you for revealing your Son in his people, the ones that were chosen and given to him, to see that we were laboring and we were heavy laden. Lord, thank you most of all for the rest you have given us in your Son. He has taken our debts and paid them in full. And he has given us the relief of them in this world we know. Though we're still depraved, though we still sin, though we still fight this battle within ourselves, there's a rest for our souls in your Son. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.